In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I had a conversation the other week with one of my good friends from Milwaukee. He talked about looking forward to getting back into the gym so he could do some lifting of weights. Certain nagging injuries and waiting out a possible COVID exposure was keeping him away, to say nothing about getting motivated enough to go. Sometimes just getting to the local gym or YMCA is half the battle. Regardless, while lifting weights isn't everyone's thing to do to be healthy, it is something that he likes to do. And so as the conversation continued, he started to reminisce, as good friends often do, reminiscing about the glory days, the good old days, the golden years back in his 20s. For you see, both he and I are getting closer to 40. So as he was reminiscing, he talked about how he always enjoyed back in the day being one of those guys at the gym who could lift more than anybody. But he can't do that now. But it was there that I reminded him of something. Even though you might have thought you were the big man back then, don't forget there's always a bigger fish than you somewhere else, a bigger fish that you just haven't met yet. In our gospel reading for today, from the first chapter of St. Mark, we see who is the true strong man, the true mighty man, and his name is Jesus. John the Baptist was a very big deal to many people back in those days with his fiery preaching of repentance, leading people to be baptized that they might repent and receive the forgiveness from God. But John knew that there was someone mightier than he. And so much of John's later ministry was to point everyone away from himself and to Jesus. John certainly was a mighty man in his own regard, with massive crowds following him, listening to him, hanging on his every word, being moved to come to be baptized. John very well could have used his fame to further magnify his own ministry and his own popularity. But he doesn't. He gives way to the mightier man, Jesus. And this mighty man is the focal point of all Christian preaching, Jesus. We are to preach about this mighty Jesus. Yes, Jesus, who is the suffering servant, the man of sorrows who is acquainted with our grief, who we hear about in Isaiah 53. But this Jesus is also the promised Son of Man who will return, who, in the words of Revelation chapter 1, has eyes like flames of fire, feet like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice is like the roar of many waters. Jesus is mighty because he is the eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, as you all just confessed in the Nicene Creed. Jesus is mighty because he is God in the flesh. And Jesus is mighty because he is truly human as well, and shows all of that strength, all of his might, in doing what only humans can do. And what is that? Dying. Jesus steps into the line of enemy fire like a soldier on the Battle of Normandy or Baghdad, taking bullet after bullet that we be saved from the armaments of sin and death. Jesus jumps out into oncoming traffic to push us out of harm's way at the cost of his life. Jesus dives into the river of hopelessness to save us from drowning, knowing full well that it will cost him his life and cause him to gasp for his last breath of air. And he saves us, and then his body becomes our life preserver. There is great strength and might in what Jesus did on the cross for you. To the eyes of the world, it looked like weakness. He looked like a total and abject failure. But to you, through the eyes of faith, his death is a supreme act of strength. His death is the chief act of strength, stronger than even Samson, as he summoned God's power for one last moment to bring down the house upon the Philistines and upon himself as well. But Jesus' might doesn't stop there, it goes on. As Martin Luther once said, Jesus, he punches death in the face and knocks all of his teeth out with his glorious resurrection. And also with Satan in his crosshairs, Jesus casts down that ancient foe, the father of lies, from his throne as prince of a fallen world, shooting him right out of the sky like an unsuspecting duck, using his own flesh and blood as he ascends to the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns eternally. And after this ascension, Jesus once again assumes the unlimited power that he gave up for a time and was hidden. And this is where you, dear Christians, come in. Because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and this is the position of God's power, God's might, nothing can stop the incarnate God from coming right to you. Not locked doors, as the disciples found out as they huddled in fear after Jesus was crucified. Not persecution, as St. Paul found out on the Damascus Road. Not the crushing weight of sin, not the chains and the shackles of death. Nothing can stop the might of Jesus, the one who is mightier than John the Baptist. God's presence, his power, his might in Christ is everywhere. But it is not everywhere for you. You may very well sense the presence and the power of God while looking out your window, maybe from a hunting blind, walking on the beach, or taking a stroll through the Eau Claire Dells. In all those places you can sense God's power, but you will not find Christ for you in all of his power and in all of his might, because in those places you will hear no gospel, you will receive no sacraments. Apart from the gospel, apart from the sacraments, apart from the church, you will not find Christ in all of his power and all of his might for you. In the preaching of the gospel, in the receiving of the sacraments, the gathered assembly of the believers, what we are doing here this morning, you can indeed find God for you in all of his power and in all of his might. It doesn't look like much in the eyes of unbelievers. Sermons being preached, bread and wine being consecrated, lifted up, eaten and imbibed, sinners gathering together in repentant faith. But this is precisely what the might and the power of Jesus Christ looks like and sounds like. His living voice reverberates from countless churches throughout the world, including your own church this very morning. His body and blood is given to hungry and thirsty sinners in need of God's mighty power to forgive, including today as you walk up to this chancel to receive your Lord in your hands. The Church of Christ gathers to receive Jesus as he is, in his word, in his sacraments. And the reason why Jesus can be present for you is precisely because he is at the right hand of the Father, the hand of God's power and might. And where again can you find God's mighty presence? Well, you can find it everywhere, but you cannot find it everywhere for you. You can find God's power and might only here for you in the body, in the blood of Christ, in his gifts of word and sacrament, in the bread, in the wine of the Holy Supper. His precious body and blood is given and shed for you here and now in this church for the forgiveness of your sins. Yes, you. That's where you can find the one who is mightier than John the Baptist. Here at this altar, God gives himself to you, and with that all of his power and might, so that you would be filled with that same power and that same might. With the might of God, with the might of Christ on your hands, in your lips, on your lips, in your body, you can continue your lives joyfully knowing that God is for you and not against you. With his strength as your strength, given to you in word and sacrament, You can get up off your knees after time in repentant prayer, knowing that God has chosen you, yes, you, to be one of his beloved sons, one of his beloved daughters. With his might as your might, might that you have heard and smelled and tasted and received, you can help bear the burdens of others, whatever they may be, knowing that Christ your Lord has already taken upon himself all the burdens of this world, all the burdens of this valley of tears, this world overcast by the shadow of death, this world marked by so much sin and so much selfishness. Jesus told the disciples and tells you now, in the world you will have tribulation. You are promised that. But take heart, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Jesus, he is your victor. He is your champion. He is your strength. He is your power. He is your might. And this means you don't need to go to a weight room to get strong, thanks be to God. Though exercise does have its time and place. This means you need to be where Christ promises to be, where his presence is to be found, in his word, in his sacraments, the body and blood given for you as true food and true drink. He can be anywhere he wants because he is God. He is the promised one mightier than John the Baptist, and he wills to be present here for you today with all of his might, that you too would be strong. Jesus once said that among the children of men, there is no one greater than John the Baptist, but you who are inheritors of the kingdom, even the least of the inheritors of the kingdom of God, are even greater than John the Baptist. And that is your promise and your joy this day and always. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.